Friday afternoon, everybody. You've made it through another week. You're almost to the weekend. Happy to be with you on this Friday, July 24th. And we are now a day into baseball season. So we will get into what opening day was like yesterday, as well as take a quick peek at what's going on this weekend. Also coming up this hour, of course, we'll have our pal Terry on the phone. Get his opinion on the world of baseball, obviously basketball, and an announcement coming out of the combat sports world. So we'll get his opinion on that in the next segment. Then, of course, we got Formula One news to talk about. NASCAR was on the track yesterday, so we'll discuss that. And then also take a look at Major League Soccer. Give you a quick update at the end of this hour as they get ready to move into their knockout stage of the MLS is Back tournament. But let's get into it. Let's get into baseball. Let's get into what opening day looked like yesterday, because it had really kind of a true feel of opening day, because we started off on the East Coast with the Yankees and Nationals and a game that got rained out. You know, it's July, but it felt like March watching the rain settle in there at National Stadium and just watching just buckets and buckets. I mean, it looked biblical at times watching all that rain come down there in that stadium, but really gave it kind of a true opening day feel, seeing that kind of weather, seeing that happen. The game actually did get called after six innings. Well, really, I think they were in the sixth inning when it got called. But that's a new rule this year. If you get through five innings of the game and five innings are complete, any point after that, if the game it goes into a delay like that game did, they can call it and make it an official game, which is what happened. But Yankees and Nationals, even for the you know, about six innings that we got, still entertaining. And it seems as though the ball still more juice than ever. You know, I mean, that thing flew out of the park. It started off right away in the first inning. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton for the New York Yankees, Adam Eaton for the Washington Nationals, just belted a home run there. Each one for their own team there in the first inning, and looked to soar out of the park fairly easily, did that baseball. So it seems we are continuing to juice them up. And I'm, you know, based on that, it'll be interesting to see really where we land with home run marks this season. Having just 60 games, having the production that we did, or that Major League Baseball did in that department. I mean, you had the Minnesota Twins with 307. The Yankees only one behind them with 306 home runs last year. So it'll be interesting to see what that number is at the end of the season, really what it is kind of at the end of August, as we get, you know, a little over a month into this season, as we get kind of at that point into the home stretch of the season. It'll be interesting to see what the home run numbers are like there. But Stanton had Aaron Judge on base as well to make his homer a two-run homer for the New York Yankees. That's how the season got underway. And people really just picking up where they left off, you know, as did the new ace for the Yankees, Gerrit Cole, after giving up that home run to Eaton in the first inning. Not only did he not give up another run, he didn't even give up another hit for the rest of what was an abbreviated game. But he went five innings pitched, gave up one hit, one earned run, that was the home run to Eaton, one walk, and five strikeouts. New York didn't even have to activate the bullpen for this game, you know. Well, in all fairness, neither did Washington, but Gerrit Cole looking a little bit nicer than Scherzer in most departments after this game. Scherzer, 5 1/3 innings pitched, gave up 6 hits, 4 earned runs, walked 4, but did have 11 strikeouts in that 5 1/3 innings pitched that he got under his belt. So even though he was tagged for a few runs, still managed to sit down his fair amount of batters in that 5 1/3 innings pitch that he got out there in the game. So still some solid strikeout numbers there, but really for any pitcher that's going up against New York, it's just a tough lineup to draw. I mean, regardless of who you are, they just have a lot of weapons. I listed them off, I think, on Wednesday when I was making my initial predictions, which we'll get to later on in the show. But nonetheless, I mean, just a tough assignment there for Max Scherzer. But I think, again, the 11 strikeouts, he really kind of did what he could there, but the Yankees just were able to just tee off, and they didn't settle on that 2-1 lead either, because it was 2-1 after the first inning. And then in the third inning, Aaron Judge hit a double into left field to score Tyler Wade, make it 3-1 New York. Then in the fifth inning, Stanton strikes again as he singled to right, and Torres to make it 4-1 Yankees, which ended up being the final. And these two will meet two more times this season, not today, but tomorrow and Sunday is when they will play next. That'll be the only three games they play against each other this year. But I still thought it was intriguing, even though we only got, you know, about six innings in. Still just mesmerizing to see all the weapons the Yankees have in that lineup, and when they are on, it is nerve-wracking. I mean, I imagine it is as a pitcher out there. It's exciting as a fan to watch, even though I'm not a huge Yankee fan. It's still just, it's a lineup that you have to, I mean, as much as I hate to say this again, I had the same kind of feeling watching the Dodgers as well, but just all that talent that came up to the plate during that game for New York, they're going to be a tough out regardless of who you are this year. It'll be interesting to see how those next two games tomorrow and Sunday go for the Nationals and seeming, because the big part of that also with them not being able to kind of come close to matching that offensive output was, of course, the absence of Juan Soto, who yesterday before the game tested positive for coronavirus. So that's a big weapon now taken out of the Washington Nationals lineup. And really, that's what we could see during all of these return to sports. I mean, Major League Soccer had to send teams home, but for other leagues like Major League Baseball or the NBA or the NHL or even the NFL, if you have to send one or two players home for testing positive, you know, here and there throughout the season, it could completely change the way, you know, that season goes for whoever it is. I mean, Washington with Juan Soto, who knows if it really changes the outcome all that much, but there's one more weapon at least that New York has to think about with the Nationals if they have Juan Soto in their lineup. So this is, again, the wild card that coronavirus is going to, you know, put on all of these seasons as they get going and you know, either restart or in baseball's case, get going again or get going, period. And it'll be interesting to see what, you know, the adjustments Washington makes, not just in their lineup, but as a whole without Juan Soto. And it'll be interesting to see if any of these other teams have, you know, issues with coronavirus as we move forward. Because it's a busy schedule of weekend games this weekend. I mean, right now we have the Braves and Mets about to get going here. That'll start the Friday slate of 14 games. The only two teams not playing today are the Yankees and the Nationals. And then Saturday and Sunday, all 30 teams are in action. So a full slate of 15 baseball games on Saturday and Sunday. And like I said, still 14 today. So a lot going on. But getting back to opening day yesterday, we had the second act of the doubleheader after the Nationals and Yankees in a much warmer, not rain-delayed Los Angeles. As the Giants and the Dodgers battled it out in the first of 10 meetings this season, and they battled it out really for the first six innings. I mean, San Francisco was able to get the slight jump on LA early there, getting the first run across the board in the top of the third inning when Pablo Sandoval hit a sacrifice fly to left to score Tyler Heineman and take a 1-0 lead. And my goodness, it's good to see Pablo Sandoval back. He was one of my favorite Giants throughout that championship stretch there from 10 to 14. Always more from 12 to 14 is when he really played a part in that. He wasn't so much playing a role in the 2010 run, but 12 and 14, huge pieces of that team and of those runs. And it was a bummer to see him leave San Francisco. It didn't feel right to see him in Boston. It didn't feel right to see him play in that, you know, for that team. So to see him back now, I believe that's where he went from San Francisco to Boston. And to see him now back in a Giants jersey, I almost said 49ers there. Got to catch myself. But seeing him back in a Giants jersey really just feels good. And to see him help get that first run across the plate of the season for the Giants was a fun sight to see. But LA quick to respond in the next inning when Kiki Hernandez singled the center, scoring Corey Seager, the first of his five RBIs in that game, leveling the game at one. Then it was a 1-1 duel for the next few innings and some really intriguing baseball going back and forth. But then we got to the bottom of the seventh. And LA just took over, putting five runs on the board. It started with Justin Turner grounding into a fielder's choice. That allowed Mookie Betts to come across and score. Then Kiki Hernandez again stepping up, singling to right. That allowed Justin Turner and Corey Seager to come in and score and make it 4-1. Then it continued with Austin Barnes reaching on an infield single to score Hernandez. Then finally in the seventh, Max Muncy with the bases loaded was walked. That brought in Jock Peterson to make it 6-1 Dodgers. And the final shot fired there in the eighth inning when Kiki Hernandez blasted a home run to left field, scoring himself and Justin Turner to make it 8-1. So Giants able to hold on there through the first two-thirds of that game, and then as it got later and later, the Dodgers just finding a rhythm, finding some big swings, and really what it came down to was kind of the opposite showing from each team's bullpen. LA had four pitchers come out of the pen last night, and only one hit was given up between the four of them with no runs scored at all. For San Francisco, they had five guys come out of the pen. Started with Drew Smyly, and he got off to a good start. No hits allowed, no runs allowed. Walked one, struck out two. Then Rico Garcia came in, also had an okay showing with just one hit in an inning. Then it went downhill. The last three pitchers of the game for San Francisco, that being Tyler Rogers, Danny Jimenez, and Connor Mendez, combined to give up six hits and seven earned runs just while striking out one batter in a combined two innings. So that is a glaring problem there in your first game when, you know, Cueto, in his four innings pitched, was able to really minimize that Dodger lineup, take away kind of their strengths, and just hold them to one run. That's all he gave up. And so to see him leave after four innings made me a little nervous. But again, we had Smyly, or I shouldn't say we. The Giants had Smyly come out and get off to a good start. Garcia picked up nicely in that next inning. But man, it was tough to watch those last few innings there when Rogers, Jimenez, and Mendez just unfortunately were kind of thrown to the wolves there, and the Dodgers took advantage. And, put up seven runs in those last few innings and was able to go to a comfortable 8-1 win. So for the Giants, you know, the offense going to struggle without guys like Buster Posey and Brandon Belt out there swinging the bat. But for the most part, I thought they looked okay. And, you know, bullpen's got to pick it up because runs aren't going to be coming, you know, every single game at a large quantity for the Giants this year. So if their starting pitching can hold up and if their bullpen gets better, you know, maybe they can keep their head afloat in that National League West division. But it was an alarming ending to that game to see the San Francisco Giants bullpen just kind of wilt under the pressure of the Dodgers, which, again, much like the Yankees, every team that goes up against LA this year is going to, you know, take a tough draw. And it's not going to be easy to knock that team off at home or on the road. And unfortunately, my gut feels like we're on our way to a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, which I was praying against that a few years ago when it looked like that could be the case. And we thankfully did not get that matchup. But we could be very well on our way to it. And honestly, it would probably be an amazing series between the two teams. But hopefully we get something different. But otherwise, that was opening day. A bit of a weird feel to it, but good to have baseball back. And like I said, if you're looking for more baseball, you will get it. 14 games today. Atlanta and the Mets are underway on ESPN. Top of the first right now for Atlanta. Nobody on, two out. And like I said, every team in action tomorrow and Sunday. So plenty of baseball to watch if you are interested. All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we will have our pal Terry on the phone talking baseball, basketball, a little bit of combat sports. Going to be a nice mixture of things. So stay tuned for that here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.
Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
Welcome back to the show. Happy to have our pal Terry on the phone with us. Terry, man, happy Friday. Welcome back. How you doing?
Happy Friday. I'm doing well. I took today off. I'm a gray eagle. Beautiful up here. Got a cabin on the river, so I'm set for the weekend.
Yeah, it sounds like you are in a very good position for this weekend.
Yes, and just so you know, my sports addiction, I made sure that the cabin we had cable and I could watch ESPN.
Oh, perfect. There you go, man.
Well,
yeah, you're not only going to have baseball last night, you got baseball pretty much all weekend. It's a crazy slate.
Yeah, it's nuts. I can't. I got chills just talking about it. Well, like literally just now, just like, oh, we got baseball back.
Well, let's jump into it then, man, because opening day was last night. What did you think? We'll start with the Yankees and Nationals, and that was the first game on. What did you think of the abbreviated game between those two?
I thought it was good, and especially because, you know, we're on our way up here during that game yesterday, so we were listening to it on the radio. And like I've said before on the show, I'm marrying into a Yankees family, so it was a very happy ride up. except for when they called it for weather, and then, you know, then we actually had to talk to each other.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
But I know, but it was just good. It made me forget of all that's going on, and I was just listening to baseball, and I was in my element, and I was happy.
Yeah, what did you – I mean, even though it was July, the weather kind of gave it a spring feel to opening day. I thought it was actually kind of nice to have that, almost, you know, like that's how it should have been for the first game. Even though it's in July, that's how the way it should have gone, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I did, and then when we got to where we were going, I pulled up and I just saw all the water pouring. You know, and Washington's known for, you know, getting some nasty storms, but the Yankees won, and my future stepson Donovan would not let me say, or would not forgive me without saying, hey, the Yankees won.
Ah,
he's happy.
There you go. Well, as long as the kid's happy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
what a crazy sight. I mean, there were just images of buckets and buckets of water coming down in that stadium, and then they showed the dugouts as well. With water up to, I mean, the workers that were in there, I don't know what height they're at, you know, personally, but the water was up to their shins, almost their knees there in the dugout.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always cool to see those monsoons and the water just pouring down the steps. But it was, you know, crazy. It just kind of how you figure 2020 is going to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was. If 2020 was a picture, that would have been one of them, which is buckets of water and lightning strikes going on in the background.
For sure. And, of course, the Yankees winning.
Yeah, you know. But then, of course, let's move on to the second game. I had to talk about it. It was tough for me to do it. I know it'll be a little tough for you as well. But Dodgers-Giants, what were kind of your takeaway? What'd you think of that game?
Man, I thought Cueto looked pretty good.
Yeah,
you know? I thought he, you know, because this is his first. What did he play a little bit last year? I can't remember because I want to forget about last season.
I think very minimal.
Yeah, I think he played the last couple weeks of the year.
Yeah, very minimal last year.
Cueto looked pretty decent. You know, he did a couple bonehead things there, you know, I had my Dodger friend texted me and said, just to make sure, you know, he always will text me, hey, just want to let you know the Dodgers beat the Giants. And I said, yes, I know. Thank you. But it doesn't count, right? I mean, we're not counting this year. That's just what I'm going to go with.
Well,
but,
I mean, it's essentially the ultimate asterisk season in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the Dodgers look like World Series contenders. What can you say? I mean, you know, I'm giving them their fair share. They look good.
Yeah, I mean, after yesterday, I hope this isn't the case, but it does look like we are on our way to a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, which, again, I think it would be a very entertaining series, but just not a fan of either of those two teams.
I don't care who's in it. I'm just happy that there's going to be, hopefully, a World Series.
That's true.
Anything else that goes crazy around it.
Yes, that's very true. But baseball now underway, another sport looking to get underway here in – about a week's time is the NBA. They are deep into their scrimmages. I believe every team getting about two or three scrimmages in this time. Have you watched any of those? Have you gotten a chance to see any of those scrimmage games?
Yeah. No, I did. I had it on in the corner of my work computer yesterday. I was watching, of course, Blazers Indiana. Then I also watched the Clippers. Who was that? Clippers and whoever it was a couple days ago started it off. And it was just I really like the setup down there, the court. I like how they have the big screen, you know, it goes down the length of the court. And, you know, again, as we keep – there's a theme here, it was just good to see them play, you know.
Yeah, and you know, positive news coming out of the NBA with the latest wave of tests. There was no new cases that popped up, so it doesn't seem as though they're having as much of an issue as Major League Soccer did in terms of initial starting of their bubble atmosphere. And I agree with you. The look is slick because you have, you know, the socially distanced benches, but everyone's still kind of, you know, close enough to where you can feel that camaraderie still on the sideline. And just, again, getting to hear a lot of the action, I think, is an intriguing part of it.
Yeah, I noticed on the NBA TV broadcast, you didn't hear much. It doesn't sound like they had their parabolic mics turned up very high. But I think I think it's going to be a good season. It's going to be fun, especially you got the seeding games. And it's going to be exciting because it's just, we're restarting a season, but it feels like a new season, you know. And I think Clippers are going to be in it. And Clippers and Milwaukee, as long as everybody stays healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's exciting about this, I mean, there's still a part of me that kind of wishes they had just gone to kind of what the NHL did, just go to an expanded playoffs when you come back. But I do think it'll be interesting to see how, you know, the regular season plays out when you have so many teams still competing there in the West. You have a few extra teams competing in the East. So I think there will definitely be some intrigue to these kind of, I don't know whether to call them, seeding games, play-in games, you know, that type of setup there.
It's a resumption of a weird, weird season. That's what it is. Because at the end of, March 12th?
13th.
Somewhere around there. 13th? Yeah. And when that happened, let's take, for example, San Antonio or like Portland. And we've established here many times that I'm a Portland fan.
Yes.
They were without three very big important players. And now, guess what? They have two of those three back. You're going to see Nurkic and Whiteside play together. Nurkic's going to play the power forward. And I think that's kind of exciting. You can't, as long as, and of course I'm not expecting much because I've had my heart broken so many times, but, man, it's just, again, the reoccurring theme is it's been good to see it. We don't want to be distracted by too much, of course, especially so all the social justice issues. We got to, we're not done with this virus, but yet we still can focus on something for 3 hours a night and it's there. And
yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like to get political on the show, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail about this, but very rarely do I agree with something that comes out of the president's mouth. Again, not getting too deep into that, but he did say that psychologically it'll be good for the country to have sports back. And I think for a part of us, yeah, that's true. Like you said, just to be able to, I'm going to go home after my shift today and there's going to be live sports on TV. And it already makes me feel better about the day.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it makes it easier being, quote, locked down.
Yeah.
I mean, and now can you imagine, when this all went down, can you imagine 20 years ago, no internet, we're locked down, what do you do? I mean, I think the murder rate might have gone up because there's nobody that I could have, done this without any type of, spontaneous entertainment.
Well, I was going to say, if you look at just how tough it was for people to handle this with internet and TV and other forms of entertainment, it was already hard enough for people to do it.
It was already hard enough.
I mean, if this happens 20, 30 years ago, I mean, it would look like, it would truly look like the apocalypse outside, I think.
Possibly.
Thankfully, it does not.
No, and I think it's also a case of, we probably would have been okay because, for one, it wasn't around back then, so we didn't know that we should have been upset,
Yeah.
So maybe it's the case like that, too. Who knows?
That's true. Who knows? But let's continue here because as Major League Baseball is back, the NBA is into their scrimmages, more and more questions are being answered in the world of the NFL, and they have come to big-time agreements today in terms of camp and safety protocol. I mean, what do you make of all that?
I know last week you asked me if it was 2 weeks ago, I don't remember, but you asked me how certain am I about college football and how certain am I about NFL going off. And I still believe college football has a chance of playing on play. But although I did see the Pac-12. I know we're talking NFL, but I did see the Pac-12 started, you know, they're finalizing the schedules for a 10-game season, I believe.
Yep, 10-game conference only.
And starting midway through September. So maybe we might get to at least Pac-12 football. But NFL, I was 100% certain. And then Sunday, I'm seeing all these NFL player tweets, you know, about, you know, and I'm like, uh-oh, maybe not. But, you know, of course, that sounds to be getting all smoothed out. Now it's just the money part, because it sounds like, you know, hey, it, and players going to probably be able to opt out, but you're not going to get paid this year if you do that, which then turns your next year's salary guaranteed. For everything that I read that in the Ringer this morning. And I also saw that, you know, the cap might drop $70 million next year. If that happens, oh, my God.
Yeah, there are
going to be a lot of good players cut.
Yeah, there's a huge financial implication to the cap space going down next season if you know, a few more moving pieces don't fall where they need to fall. But, you know, and the good news is there, you know, when it looked like, as you said, Sunday night, it looked like football was kind of falling into the world that baseball was in, where it was going to go back and forth. And there wasn't going to be much agreement. You had players saying, hey, if you want us there, make sure we're safe. And the NFL quick to respond. You know, we're not even a week from that. And here we are with those talks completed now for the most part.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, even if they play this year, the owners are still going to lose somewhere like, was it $2.5 to $5 billion?
Oh, yeah. Because, it's a gross amount of money that's going to be lost.
Yeah, the in-stadium revenue is gone. However, they would have lost, I don't know, triple that if they don't play this year.
Yeah.
So I think they were, you know, they were incentivized.
I was going to say, don't knock those TV deals and what you get from the advertising still. I mean, there's still some money to be made there, even if you know, it's not as much. But, yeah, not playing a season at all. I mean, across the board, any league that talked about that, it was, that's worst case scenario because we're going to lose a whole lot of money. So, yeah, they were absolutely, I think you're right, incentivized to get out there and figure something out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we need our football.
Oh, yeah. And I think college football will happen. Just get ready for conference only, and I don't know if there will be a playoff this year. I think it might be old school where, you know, the AP poll or somebody chooses a national champion.
You know what? I'm okay with that. I just want my football.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sounding like a spoiled American brat. I am. I want my football.
Well, let's move on from that then. We'll help you sound a little bit better there, Terry.
Thank you.
But one last thing I want to get to here with you, because it's something that's been very much in the headlines the last 24 or so hours, but that is that Iron Mike Tyson is coming back to the boxing ring. Just real quickly, what do you think about that?
Oh, I love it. Man, I grew up watching him, and I grew up watching his one-round fights. and I just wonder, though, because you probably saw the same video as I did of him working out, man.
Yep.
He's still got that punch. He's still got that real scary, that sound against the pad. You're like, oh, man.
Well, he's still got the scary look, too.
Yeah, and he's going to fight Roy Jones Jr. for real? Like, what? Really?
Yeah.
But, I worry about Roy Jones. Is he going to be able to take that punch? Because he's a small guy compared to Iron Mike.
Yeah, you know? I mean, we can see that Mike Tyson can lay out the punch, but I'm kind of wondering how he can take a punch as well. Because Roy Jones Jr., although he is small and smaller,
he's 53 years old, man.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, I mean, both these guys, talk about an iconic double knockout if we got it. What if Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. pulled off a double knockout in this fight?
I would just that's it for me. That's like I can't see anymore. I'm done.
That would be that would be quite the sight right there.
Or maybe we'll get the Rocky III ending. Carl Weathers and Sylvester Stallone punching each other, and then it just goes to freeze frame, and I'd be happy.
The broadcast just fades to black as they're just in freeze frame. That'd be great. Well, Terry, man, I always appreciate the time, appreciate your insight. I hope you enjoy your relaxing weekend up there at the cabin, enjoy some baseball, and just soak it all in, my friend.
I am, man. Thanks. You know I always enjoy
talking
to you and being on. So we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely, my man. Well, you have a great weekend.
Man.
You be safe up there.
Will do. You too.
That is our pal, Terry. Always fun to talk to him and have him on the show. And I'll dive a little bit more into my feelings about the Tyson fight as well there in the second hour. But I was very interested to hear what our pal Terry had to say about that. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, Formula One might not be on the track this weekend, but they still have some news to talk about. And, of course, NASCAR was on the track yesterday, so we'll recap how that race went as well. It's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.
Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
Well, although there's not a whole lot of racing actually going on this weekend because Formula 1 and 2 have the weekend off, IndyCar has the weekend off, of course, Formula E doesn't get back in action until August, the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Series is off this weekend, so we went from having almost everybody in action last weekend to technically no one being in action this weekend because NASCAR raced yesterday in Kansas. But we'll talk about that here in a second because we did have some Formula One announcements made today, earlier today. The first announcement was the addition of three more races to the calendar. F1 has announced the 11th, 12th, and 13th rounds of the 2020 season, which puts them just two away from their minimum goal of 15 races. Remember, when we went through the shutdown, they were talking about all these races being postponed or canceled. They said their goal was to get at least 15 to 18 races on the calendar. And right now, with those three new races added, they're up to 13. So I have a feeling they will reach their goal for that this year, which I personally didn't believe they were really going to get. I thought that was a bit too ambitious, not knowing what your travel is going to be like, but they seem to have adapted very, very well to this. So initially, of course, the first revised schedule that came out ended after the 8th round, which is the official Italian Grand Prix happening at Monza. But then Formula One came out and announced they were going to do a Tuscan Grand Prix, which is happening at the Autodromo Internazionale de Mugello, which I mispronounced last time. I thought it was Mugello. It's not. It's Mugello. Which doesn't look like it should be pronounced that way, but that's how I heard it every single time someone said it on the previous F1 broadcast. So it is Mugello there in, which is still in Italy. Again, the Tuscan Grand Prix happening in Italy again, just a different city, different track. And then, of course, they announced the Russian Grand Prix in Sochi was round 10, and that was looking like the end of the season. But they have announced the 11th round of the championship will be going back to Nürburgring, Germany, and the Nürburgring for the Eiffel Grand Prix. So that is going to be a fun sight to see Formula One returning to the Nürburgring. Of course, a lot of history there with Formula One, along with the Hockenheim Ring. They were kind of trading the German Grand Prix back and forth. The Nürburgring has hosted the European Grand Prix a number of times. And really just a fun track. It's not going to be the old school Nordschleife track there at the Nürburgring, but it's still going to be an absolutely entertaining race. The last time Formula One was there was back in 2013 when Sebastian Vettel and Red Bull got the victory there. So like I said, not going to be the old school track, but still going to be a lot of fun to see them back there at really a track that just means so much, not to Formula One, but to the motorsporting world, period. And then Formula One in the 12th round of the season returns to Portugal for the first time since 1996 and will go to their fourth different track. They will host the first Formula One race at Algarve International Circuit in Portimão, there in Portugal. This is the first time an F1 race will be in Portugal since, like I said, 1996 when Jacques Villeneuve won for Williams. And it has been announced that the race in Portugal will have fans. I don't know how many fans. I don't imagine they would go full capacity. But they you know, part of this announcement was that the Portugal Grand Prix there will have fans in attendance. I didn't see how many, but that's pretty exciting. I mean, that's the only race on the calendar where we have had any kind of confirmation that fans will be there. So Good for Portugal. I'm sure that they're going to really enjoy that. Again, I don't know how many fans are going to be allowed in. I doubt it'll be full capacity, but still, I'm sure Formula One drivers would take any sort of crowd there just to add a little more ambiance to the event. So very cool to see. To see that, and like I said, it'll be the fourth different track there in Portugal that have been used throughout Formula One history, so it'll be fun to see the first ever race happen there. And then, as of now, again, the final race on the calendar, I'm sure it'll change as they try to get up to 15 or 18 races, but the 13th round of the season, they are going back to Italy for the third time this season, and the third different track as well. Again, the Italian Grand Prix at Monza, then round 9, they have the Tuscan Grand Prix at Mugello, then round 13, they go back to historic Imola for the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix. And, I mean, you want to talk about a track that has a lot of history in Formula One. Not all super happy, you know. I mean, the San Marino Grand Prix that took place, I believe, at Imola was where Ayrton Senna unfortunately lost his life in that tragic crash, in his career in 1994. But nonetheless, I think it's going to be a lot of fun for all of those drivers to go to Imola and go to a track that, again, like Nürburgring, has such a history and such a, I feel like a just a real connection to Formula One. I mean, I think it was AlphaTauri that did some preseason testing there with Daniel Kvyat and Pierre Gasly, and they just raved about the circuit, how it feels like an old school circuit with its bumps and its tough curbs. So those are the three new races that have been added to the Formula One calendar for this season. So really looking forward to that. I think those are going to be three really fun races, and hopefully, just for Ferrari's sake, by the time they get to the Italian Grand Prix, they have four more races before they get to the Italian Grand Prix. Hopefully they can show some kind of improvement, maybe have another fun podium run there, because they have three races in their home country this year there in Italy, does Ferrari. So you would hope that they would be able to have some success, because I don't know how many fans, as of right now, I believe no fans will be at any of those races, but still, just to give those fans something to cheer about in Italy, to see them win on one of the tracks in that country, I'm sure it would be a great feeling for them. But those are the three new races announced, and some other racing news from Formula One. They announced there would be no races throughout the Americas this year. So no race in Canada, no race in the United States, in Texas, no race in Mexico City, and no race in Brazil. And, it's due to the coronavirus, which makes sense, but it's a major bummer just because of how fun those tracks are. I mean, Brazil and Canada, both of those tracks, they're Interlagos. And the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve up there in Canada have provided so many incredible moments for Formula One. They're just really fun tracks. I mean, Canada's with the Wall of Champions there, just a number of different chicanes that can catch drivers out. The nice big hairpin that they have there at that circuit, it's a lot of fun to watch. And what can you say about Interlagos? I mean, Brazil just has, it's one of the more fun races because it's not a circuit that, you know, like unlike Singapore where you have to, you know, you're only going full throttle for maybe 40, 50% of the lap because there's such technical turns there. Brazil, for the most part, is wide open. And we saw a really fun race there last year with Verstappen getting the win, and then Pierre Gasly with, after Hamilton's penalty, getting promoted to second, I believe, and Carlos Sainz getting his first podium as well there. So just a bummer to see those four races not on the calendar, and just a bummer to not see Formula One coming to the Americas at all this year. But, I mean, the big race, you know, the big question now is, where do they race? Because if they want to get at least two, maybe four or five more races on the calendar to get up to, 15, 17, or 18 races, where can they go? And right now, Vietnam, Bahrain, China, and Abu Dhabi are still listed as postponed instead of canceled. So I imagine those will be the last four spots, and Formula One will see if they can do it there. I'm not going to hold out a lot of hope for Vietnam or China, although there have been talks maybe doing a doubleheader in China. But I definitely think Bahrain and Abu Dhabi will be on the calendar. They've said time and time again that they want Bahrain and Abu Dhabi to be the last two races of the season. And if they can do a race at Vietnam or a race in China, then I could see them just doing a doubleheader at both of those circuits. I know Abu Dhabi has an ungodly amount of different layouts they can do on that track. If you ever watch the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, you will see all of the different intricate parts of that racetrack they can turn and make into a layout if they really wanted it to. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but I believe it's 20-plus different layouts that they have at Abu Dhabi on that Yas Marina circuit. So we'll see what they decide to do there, but I mean, I can see them doing that in Bahrain as well. I don't think Bahrain has as many different options as Abu Dhabi, but I do think there's at least a handful of other layouts they could try and see if they work. But I think Formula One will definitely get up to their goal of at least 15, maybe more, maybe get up closer to 18 races. But for the most part, I think it's pretty much going to be this schedule and then a race in Bahrain and Abu Dhabi. And we'll see how if they can work in any races there in Asia. But still, I think this 13-race calendar is more than I thought we were going to get already. So I'm excited about that. And again, just can't wait to see what happens. Because, again, they're off this weekend, but next weekend they're back in action. They'll have a doubleheader at Silverstone on August 2nd. They'll have the British Grand Prix, and then on August 9th, they'll have the 70th anniversary Grand Prix, both going down at Silverstone. And then some other racing news. Like I said, IndyCar off this weekend, as is the IMSA WeatherTech Endurance Series, as is Formula One and Formula Two. But NASCAR was rolling yesterday. They didn't even want to wait for the weekend. They had their race at Kansas, and Denny Hamlin got the win, his series-leading fifth of this season. And really, a great day for the whole Joe Gibbs Racing team. They made up three of the top five spots. Like I said, Denny Hamlin getting the win, Martin Truex Jr. finishing third, and then Eric Jones finishing fifth as well. He's having a nice year this year. And then another member of that team, Kyle Busch, finished just outside of the top 10 with 11th. So a very, very strong showing from that Joe Gibbs team, like they really have had all year long. So no surprise there, but that is some true dominance shown at Kansas yesterday. And then it was a fun battle at the end as well after a bit of a messy final restart to the race. Hamlin and Harvick were able to separate themselves from the pack and just had an absolute battle between the two of them. Of course, Denny Hamlin came away the victor, but Kevin Harvick has had his fair share of success this season as well. So it was fun to watch that. Kansas usually produces, whether it's NASCAR or IndyCar, they usually provide some fun races there at that track. And NASCAR will be back in action next weekend. Again, no races over this actual weekend, but next weekend, August 2nd, they'll be back in action at New Hampshire. So that'll be a fun, that's always a fun track too. Very, very tricky short track there in New Hampshire, because it's one of those tracks that doesn't have, I mean, I don't think they have any banking actually on the turns. If so, it's very, very minute, which always makes it interesting to see how cars really approach that and the lines they take. But it's a fun track there to watch. New Hampshire. So they'll be back in action there next weekend. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some MLS updates, let you know who's into the knockout round and who has gone home. Coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.
Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
Welcome back as we wrap up this first hour. Let's take a look at MLS real quick, because the group stage is over and the MLS is back tournament. So with the group stage now in the books, let's take a look at who is moving forward and who is going home. Groups A, B, C, and D all advance their top three teams. Meanwhile, group E and F, just the top two. So advancing out of group A, Orlando wins the group, followed by Philadelphia and NYCFC. Miami's struggles continue as they head home. Group B was won by San Jose. Great performance from the Quakes there in Group B, followed by Seattle and Vancouver. Chicago on their way home. Coming out of Group C, Toronto reigns victorious there, followed by New England and Montreal as DC United is heading home out of that group. A bit of a surprise. Group D, Sporting Kansas City, the winner there. Minnesota and Salt Lake following them as well, with Colorado heading home. Group E sees the state of Ohio represented very nicely as Columbus and FC Cincinnati make their way to the knockout round. New York Red Bulls and Atlanta both going home. Atlanta, after losing all three of their group stage games, actually parted ways with their head coach, Peter DeBoer, today. So he is going to be looking for a new job. Then in Group F, Portland is victorious there as LAFC advances as well, but Houston and the LA Galaxy going home. And really, the LA Galaxy's all their momentum got derailed, it felt like, when Chicharito Hernandez was not able to play anymore. When he got knocked out due to an injury, it just seemed like all of their momentum and all of their confidence kind of went by the wayside. But with that being said, the knockout round starts tomorrow, July 25th. It'll start at 5 o'clock here on the West Coast with Orlando taking on Montreal. Then we'll have Philadelphia and New England. Then on Sunday, Sporting Kansas City plays Vancouver. Toronto plays NYCFC. On Sunday, we'll have Seattle and LAFC. That'll be a fun one. And San Jose taking on Real Salt Lake. And then on Monday, July 28th, we have Portland taking on Cincinnati and Columbus taking on Minnesota. So that is how the knockout round lines up. It's been a lot of fun to see MLS back on the pitch. These games have been very entertaining. I'm sure the knockout stage will be no different. But that is the end of the first hour. We're going to throw it back to SportsCenter here at the top of the hour for a few minutes. We'll be back about a minute or so after the top of the hour, and we'll open up talking about MLB and their expanded playoffs. That's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.